What is up? We're back better than ever here on the Football Front Podcast. So I haven't been here for a while. I've been taking a little break because there hasn't been a ton of, well, there's been a ton of news, but you know, I was waiting so I could be ready for the regular season. And I'm going to make this mega episode going over a bunch of stuff that I have missed. So let's get right into it without further ado, starting with Deshaun Watson. He has officially gotten a suspension. As of when I'm recording this, the 1st of August, it is a 6-game suspension. Now, what a lot of people are saying from what I've heard is that the NFL might appeal this to try and get him more time suspended. We will see how that goes. I'm not really sure. Yeah, so he will serve a 6-game suspension without pay, but he will not be fined. And this, the arbitrator for this was Sue L. Robinson. So the 15-page conclusion said that there was not enough evidence to justify an indefinite suspension or a longer suspension. Now the NFL can appeal this and they can try and extend the extension. They are the NFL definitely wants a longer suspension because they have a bad track record on some of this stuff. Like, for example, Ben Roethlisberger, I think he only got 4 games for what he did. And a bunch of other people, Ray Rice only got 2 games. And he slugged his girlfriend in an elevator. So I feel like they want like that they are kind of regret making that decision. So like, I think they want to have a better track record in that kind of situation because he's only missing 6 games, which isn't going to affect the Browns too much. Like, if they go 2-4 in that time, then they're fine because once Deshaun Watson comes in, then they can go crazy. Like, that's going to be a problem for the NFL. It's going to make it look like they didn't do anything on the situation. So that's – I personally think that – for what he did, which is, I'm pretty sure it's 20-something sexual assault and domestic violence charges against him. So let's see. Watson has been accused of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct during massage sessions and civil lawsuits filed by 25 women. The lawsuits took place from March 2020 to March 2021 while Watson was a member of the Texans. So now there is, I believe, only 4 that of these cases that haven't been settled yet. So we'll again have to see how that goes as well. But personally, for all of that, what he did, I believe he should have gotten a much longer suspension. Minimum 10 games, in my opinion. Minimum 10 games. I'd say 12 is fair. I wouldn't be mad if they suspended him the whole season or indefinitely. So that situation is started to unfold. So now that we've gotten that news story out of the way, let's move on to some of the big money signings that have gone on in the past just week alone. Debo Samuel, who earlier in free agency requested a trade, and he was holding out, I'm pretty sure. He signed a 3-year, $73.5 million, $58.1 million guaranteed deal with the San Francisco 49ers. So he'll be staying there for the next 3 years at the very least, unless he gets traded. And then another receiver getting paid. Debo is the final domino to fall, but before him was DK Metcalf. 3-year, $72 million for DK Metcalf. And those are the final two dominoes to fall in the wide receiver game in terms of the big money players. And at quarterback, Kyler Murray, 5 years, $230 million with $160 million guaranteed. I'll get to that in a minute after I go over these next two. Julio Jones signed a 1-year, $6 million deal with Tampa, which I really like. I'll go over like my grades for all these in a minute. And then the last one is trade. Baker Mayfield went to the Panthers for a conditional 5th rounder. Starting off with Debo Samuel, I love this deal for the 49ers. I love this deal for Deebo. He's one of the highest paid receivers now. He should be happy. The 49ers get to keep one of the best utility receivers in the game. This, you know, last year, they get to keep him. So right now, all they have to do is get Jimmy Garoppolo out because they named Trey Lance the starter. I'll get to that, but both those two things later. But they now have Deebo Samuel. I think they should be happy with that. We've got DK Metcalf, another good deal for DK. That's what he wanted. And I feel like the Seahawks just had to keep him. They couldn't afford to lose a player like DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is a phenomenal player. Now, he won't have a quarterback, but if they can do one of those speedy rebuilds like the Bills did, then I think that it could end up being a good deal. Now, the DK Metcalf side of it, it's not too long of a deal where he's not tied up with a bad team for the rest of his career. After the 3 years is up, he'll still be in his mid to late 20s, and he can still get a good deal somewhere else. So it's a good deal for both sides, in my opinion, here. Next up, Kyler Murray. Oh, my gosh. One of the weirdest deals I've ever seen. So he's now a super well-paid quarterback. 5 years, $230 million, $160 million guaranteed. It's a really, really large contract, I must say first. And he's a good quarterback, and he deserves it. But I think we've all heard the story of the addendum to his contract. Listen to this. This is what it was. He had to do 4 hours of individual film study a week, which doesn't sound that bad. That's just a clause in a contract. But what the way they worded it, it was Kyler must do 4 hours of independent film study a week, in that they will check up on it or something. I don't know. But then it said, while doing the film study, he cannot be on the internet playing video games and all this other stuff. Now, that kind of means that he probably was doing that, meaning that he potentially wasn't doing his film study in the first place, and that's why they had to do the addendum. And they list all these things, meaning there were probably things that Kyler did. Like, if you put it together in your head, and I've heard a lot of people say this as well, it's like, if you put it together and said, it wouldn't shock me that he's doing that kind of thing while doing film study. The thing is also, that shouldn't be in a contract. The best quarterbacks in the league do more than 4 hours a week. They can do 4 hours a day of film study. That shows that he's not the hardest worker outside off the field. That just kind of shows that to me. Now, then they removed the addendum, which was weird, in my opinion, because if they were doing it to get this headline out of the news, it's a 24-hour news cycle. It would have been out of the news by the next day. But they cut out the addendum, and then that makes even more news. I mean, the headline sticks around for the next 4 days. Like, I don't know why they got rid of the addendum. Like, I don't know why you would. It makes no sense. Anyway, moving on to the next one. Julio Jones, 1 year, $6 million, Tampa. I like this. He'll be teaming up with Godwin and Evans. That's going to be a heck of a receiving core. The reason I brought up Julio Jones is because a lot of people don't think of him as an elite receiver anymore. He can still be a solid third receiver on a good team. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a very elite player still. I still see value in a player like Julio Jones. By the way, also, Kwon Alexander signed a deal. I'm not going to go over that, but just figured I'd mention it as well with the Jets. And then the Baker Mayfield trade. I mean, I'm not shocked he got traded. I think no one was when that happens. I'm kind of shocked he went to the Panthers, though. Why the heck not the Seahawks? The Seahawks could use him a lot more. Or the Texans. But going to the Panthers, he's fighting against Sam Darnold and Matt Corral. Now, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Matt Corral's team next year unless Baker Mayfield goes crazy. Because Darnold's definitely not going to be it, I don't think. He's not going to be the quarterback next year. Baker, I don't see enough potential in him for them to keep him, even if he has an okay year. And then they've got this, you know, rookie, are going to have a second year quarterback that's developed under these two for a year, and he should be ready to start because he is a solid prospect quarterback, and he'll fit in perfectly, I think, once he is in. He might not even play this year, but it wouldn't shock me. I still think he will end up being a solid starting quarterback in the NFL for Matt Corral. So that's also going over the Panthers quarterback situation, which was something I was going to come back to later, but I guess I don't have to now because I just kind of went over it there. And the Browns got a conditional fifth round pick. Obviously the Panthers win this deal because Cleveland also retained some of the salary, which is great because it was a big amount of money that the Panthers probably couldn't have taken on. So the conditional fifth could turn into a fourth. Now moving on to some news headlines. The third thing I'm going over, it's the Guardian cap for the helmets. I got to say, you have to look up these you have to look them up. They look hilarious on helmets. So what it's supposed to do is protect during training camp. Now, I'm going to look into it a bit more. They put it over the helmet. A lot of players say it's ugly and it feels weird. I think J.J. Watt said it looks like a bobblehead. So many NFL players are now required to wear from the outset of camp through the second week of preseason games in attempt to curb at the rate at which players suffer concussions at this time of year. Okay. If you're doing it then, why aren't you doing it during the season? Why aren't we wearing these Guardian caps during the actual season itself? Now, obviously, I don't think they want to do that because it looks bad. But why not add more padding if you're trying to prevent concussions? That just kind of seems like a durr for the NHL or NFL. My bad. Normally, I've been talking about the NHL a lot because I have another podcast. Go check it out. Icing, all caps. ICING. Go check that out. It's also with a co-host. Moving back to the Guardian cap, it's a padded outer shell that is worn outside of the player's helmets. The NFL says it can reduce concussions by up to 10% if one player involved in a collision is wearing one of them, and up to 20% if both players involved in the collision have them on. So for the last three seasons, before the Guardian cap mandate began, the NFL has reported 30 documented concussions per year during preseason practices. So I guess it's trying to prevent that. Either way, I don't really like it. It seemed like it would feel weird. By the way, I got this from Yahoo, the definition for the Guardian cap. So moving on now. Trey Lance is named the starter. As I said, I circled back to it. So Trey Lance named the starter by Kyle Shanahan, meaning that Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten permission to seek trades because the 49ers can't seem to themselves. But anyway, this isn't shocking to me. They couldn't, as a team, they probably couldn't justify sitting a player that they moved up significantly to get in the high first round, the fifth pick or something it was. They can't justify seeing him for 2 years after picking him and trading up to pick him in the top 10 of the draft. That just wouldn't make sense. So that's why they're doing this. I'm pretty sure he might not even be as good as Jimmy Garoppolo at this point, but they're hoping he'll develop by getting this time with the number one group. Now, next up, another person named starter. Mitchell Trubisky is named the starter for the Steelers. Well, not named the starter, but according to Mike Tomlin, the job is his to lose. So meaning that as long as he doesn't screw things up or get injured, it's Trubisky to start the season. And then they still have Mason Rudolph and Pickett under him. Yeah, Kenny Pickett, sorry. I don't know why I blanked on his name. But they still have Pickett and Rudolph under Trubisky. So if anything goes wrong, I don't think they'll hesitate to pull out Trubisky. Next up, Jimmy Garoppolo. As I said before, 49ers are looking to trade him now that they've confirmed that it'll be Trey Lance. So where do I think Jimmy G can go? I think the Seahawks would fit. I think the Texans could fit. And then there's obviously some backup roles he can go to. But those are probably the main two, unless I'm forgetting something. Now moving on, we have power rankings. So preseason power rankings, 1 through 32. Don't expect these to be accurate in any way. I'm mostly expecting them to absolutely fail outside of a couple. So let's get into that. The Rams, I have them at number one. No shock coming off the Super Bowl. You know, Matthew Stafford, Cam Akers, Sony Michel, I think still there. I'm not positive about that, Sony Michel, but still got Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, among others. Like, they're going to have a pretty good offense. And with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on defense, that's going to be a good defense as well. And they have a good enough supporting cast. So I think they're a prime candidate to win the Super Bowl again this year. Number two, I have the Buccaneers. Buccaneers are obviously going to be a good team. When you got Tom Brady, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin on offense alone, that's good. There's a reason they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You know, Tom Brady, the amount of depth they have and all that, it's phenomenal. They're a phenomenal team, especially now that they added Julio Jones. They lose Gronkowski, but they signed Kyle Rudolph. So it's like they didn't get significantly worse, I don't think. So I have them at number two. At number three, the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen looks to be a stud. Potentially already considered superstar by a lot of people. I'm not going to say he's not a superstar, but I am going to say that I'm not like 100% positive, because we don't know if he's a one-hit wonder. You know, do I think he will be a superstar? Yes. Do I think that'll happen this year? Yes. Do I think he is currently? Almost. So that's, you know, he's a heck of a player. They got good receiving core with Stephon Diggs alone. Solid defense, solid all-around team. Josh Allen obviously being the headliner for it. And there's a reason they've gotten better basically every year since they stunk. They've made some good moves, and they're in a prime position to win a Super Bowl this year. And fourth, I have the Chiefs, the fourth best team in the league, in my opinion. The reason I have them down there is they lost Tyreek Hill. Still got Patrick Mahomes, still got Travis Kelce, but you lose Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. Got some good stuff back for him, but it's going to be worse without Tyreek Hill. They have currently at receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman. I believe they still have Byron Pringle. And then they have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who will hopefully be the replacement to Tyreek Hill speed-wise as the deep threat. But we're yet to figure that out. So the reason the Chiefs dropped is because they lost Tyreek Hill. The rest of the team stayed generally the same, and I still expect them to compete. Now, a team that is going to take, I think, a significant drop-off in the regular season is the Packers. Still got Aaron Rodgers, but you lose Davante Adams. It's the same general situation. You lose Davante Adams, you're going to get worse. Now, is there still potential for them to win a Super Bowl? Yes. You got Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, you still have a solid enough receiving core and a solid enough defense. You know, I wouldn't be shocked to see them make a deep playoff run, but currently they're not my top pick. Next up, we got the runners-up, Bengals. It's hard to put them much lower if they, you know, when they just were the second best team. Joe Burrow is going to continue to develop. Their whole team's young, so they're going to continue to develop. And their offensive line got so much better, and that's going to help their odds. But the problem is the rest of the league also got significantly better. So it's going to be hard for the Bengals to compete as much as they did last year. Granted, no one was expecting them to last year, and they made it to the Super Bowl. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them make it that far, but I'm expecting probably a second-round exit for them, the Bengals. Next, the Cardinals. Did they spend too much money trying to keep Kyler Murray that they can't maintain the rest of their team? I don't think so. I think, you know, the main problem for them this year is going to be the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is missing 6 games due to performance-enhancing drugs and a suspension. That's going to affect them significantly, with, you know, with him missing the first 6 games. They're not going to be as good as they were last year to start the season, so they might have a bit worse seeding and lose earlier because they're playing a, you know, better team in the first round. We're yet to see about them. They're like a, they're a team that I wouldn't be shocked to see do anything, you know, crazy. But I expect them to be good, but not the best team in the league, and not have that 11-0 start like they did the other year. Cowboys, same deal. They're yet to prove themselves in the playoffs. They got a good quarterback, Dak Prescott. They got a good running back, Ezekiel Elliott, solid receiving core, solid defense, but they just can't do crap in the playoffs. It's bad. It's like, it's annoying. Now, moving on to the next team, Cleveland Browns. Cleveland. Now, they're going to be affected by the Deshaun Watson, you know, suspension, but we all saw that coming. Now, I made the thing forgetting that Deshaun Watson was suspended 6 games. So I probably, like, I thought it was going to be like 8 games. So putting that in, I put them lower. They could probably be over the, it seemed like the Cardinals or the Cowboys. But, you know, we'll see about that. I'm not going to throw all my eggs in the Browns, though. Throw all my eggs in one basket. You know, I'm not going to throw all my eggs in one basket and say the Browns are winning everything like I did the other year, which sounded pretty stupid in hindsight. I'm not going to say anything about them. I'm not going to say that they're going to do crazy good. I'm not going to say they're going to do crazy bad. I'm just saying they're going to be like 10-7, 11-6, make it to the second round, maybe the semis, the conference finals, and then lose. That's what my prediction is for the Browns. Now, the Browns are either going to make me look really, really stupid, really, really good. So we'll see. Next up, I got the 49ers. Really all depends on Trey Lance. I'll say that right now. They locked up Deebo Samuel. They got a good defense. Solid, solid team overall, but it all depends on Trey Lance. If he develops into a great quarterback, there's nothing holding them back from going to the Super Bowl and making a Super Bowl run. Now, there's no evidence that Trey Lance is going to be the best quarterback. So that's why they're this low. I think he's going to be on the average this year, and I think they'll make it to the first round of the playoffs and lose. That's my prediction for the 49ers. Next up, I got the Broncos. Russell Wilson now in there. So that's just going to help them. They have a really good team. You know, they have the star players, and then they're just average the rest of the way. They have Russell Wilson. They have the Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and just the rest of the way is an average team. That's why I put them this low. Next up, the Chargers. Now, they're a team with all the talent. Justin Herbert's phenomenal. But, again, they're a team I do not trust in the playoffs. They just don't. I don't know why. They just don't seem to have good track record going into the playoffs, even when it was with Phillip Rivers. I think they get over the hump and actually make the playoffs this year. But I don't have a ton of confidence going for them in when they actually get into the playoffs, because they haven't had that experience yet on their team, especially with Justin Herbert. Next up, I got the Dolphins. Again, this one's another one that depends on the quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa is going to have to be really good. And if he's not, which a lot of people don't have confidence in him, and a lot of people do, if he's not good, then that's a waste of a year on a otherwise really, really good team. Now, we'll have to see what happens next offseason, but if Tua doesn't do good, they're probably getting rid of Tua and bringing in another quarterback that can lead them to a Super Bowl potentially, because they got Tyreek Hill, they got a really good team. I don't see why they can't compete. You know, that's going to be the narrative if they do bad. I don't see why they can't compete. It must be Tua. Tua's not doing good. They're not good. It's going to be the narrative surrounding the team. It's going to be all about Tua and potentially a bit about Tyreek Hill because he kind of just steals the show everywhere he goes. But the storyline is going to be mostly around Tua for the Dolphins team. If they miss the playoffs, Tua's fault. If they make the playoffs, Tyreek Hill's the reason why. Like, that's what people are going to say. Now, could my prediction be right where people are putting all the blame on Tua? I don't know. I'm just making a guess. Next up, I got the Patriots. Patriots, another developing quarterback, Mac Jones. A solid all-around team, but nothing too crazy. I mean, except for Bill Belichick. And that's why I think they'll make a run at the playoffs. Like, you can't lose confidence in Bill Belichick. That's, like, a part of the reason for, like, everyone thinking the Patriots will do good. Bill Belichick. That's it. That's my justification for the Patriots right there. Ravens up next. Lamar Jackson, a good defense, good running backs, good tight ends. Receivers? Rashad Bateman, I guess. That's kind of the narrative around the Ravens right now. Good team, wide receivers. That's the problem. So they need to have some wide receiver breakout, whether that's Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, someone. They need someone in their receiving core to break out. And they haven't had that yet, and that's part of the problem. We've got a phenomenal quarterback, phenomenal tight end, Mike Andrews, and a really good defense. But I don't think their wide receivers will stay, you know, stay healthy. Not stay healthy. I don't think they'll, you know, play up to the caliber of the rest of the team. That's the best way I can put it. I think they'll be a level below everyone else because of their wide receivers. Next up, I got the Raiders. The Raiders were a tough one to place because I have confidence in Derek Carr. I have confidence in most of their teams. But for some reason, I have this nagging feeling that they're just going to flop for some reason. I don't know whether that'll be injuries, but I just have this feeling that they'll flop. I don't know why, but we'll see how that prediction holds up. Next up, I got the Titans. They lost A.J. Brown. They lost Julio Jones. Really, the only thing they got going for them is Derrick Henry. And that's the only thing preventing them from irrelevancy. That's really all you need to talk about for the Titans. Will Malik Willis take over Ryan Tannehill this year? No. Next year, probably. I think next year it's going to be the same situation as Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo is in a situation this year that I think Ryan Tannehill will be in next year. Just a hunch. This situation seems similar. A QB that not a lot of people knew about right up until the draft. Malik Willis is like the new big thing. And everyone's hyped up about him. He sits the first year and, you know, then the next year he plays. That's the situation going on in San Francisco. Trey Lance, North Dakota State University. No one knows about him until like the end of the season. And he just pops out of nowhere, plays crazy, and gets drafted. That's going to happen, I think, for Ryan Tannehill. He's going to be in the same situation that Jimmy Garoppolo was in. Next up, Colts. Colts, Colts, Colts. Is Matt Ryan better than Carson Wentz? 100% yes. Is their team anything special? Not really. Darius Leonard is, but I don't think that their team's going to do anything super duper crazy this year. I don't know. I just kind of lost a bit of confidence in the Colts because of last year, and they lost to the Jaguars when they were almost a lock to make the playoffs. Week 18, you play the Jaguars, you somehow lose, and somehow the Steelers made the playoffs. not arguing because I'm a Steelers fan, but I'm just saying it's something was off about that. Next up, coincidentally, I have the Steelers. Steelers quarterback situation is something. Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph. We now know it's going to be Trubisky for week one. We don't know how he'll play. We don't know much about this team. We know the defense is going to be good, but we don't know how the offense is going to be yet. We're pretty sure that Najee is going to be good. Chase Claypool is going to be good. But other than that, we don't really know much. And we also know the defense is going to be good. But we don't know much about the offensive line, how they're going to be, how the rest of the receiving corps is going to be, and how the quarterbacks are going to be. That's something we're going to have to figure out for ourselves once the season starts. Next up, I got the Commanders. Commanders are definitely going to be affected by the loss of Chase Young. That's why they're going to be this low. Chase Young not being there is going to be the worst thing for them. Because, offense, it's good. I mean, Carson Wentz, I guess, is eh, but the rest of the offense is good. Defense is solid. But losing Chase Young is going to be huge. Don't know about Carson Wentz. That's why they're this low. Saints, I have up next. Saints are another iffy team. Don't know much about what the quarterback's going to be like. Jameis Winston can either be hit or miss. We'll figure that out when the season starts. Receiving corps looking good. Michael Thomas should be back. Defense is only okay, though. There are a lot of teams in this range, from starting with the Patriots, I'd say. They're really boom or bust. Patriots until, I'd say, the Panthers. Actually, no, I'll say the Giants. Patriots until the Giants in my list are all boom or bust. And I've got a couple of more teams until the Giants. Eagles, Vikings, Panthers, and then the Giants. So the Eagles are up next. Jalen Hurts, a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. That's the big thing. A lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts. And that's going to be what people blame their season on. It's going to be Jalen Hurts is the reason they did really good, or Jalen Hurts is the reason they did really bad. Because they don't have a crazy good roster around him. But even if it's not Jalen Hurts' fault, the quarterback's always the guy that's going to get blamed, especially if he's the young guy. That's what's going to happen. Next up, the Vikings, just another okay team. I mean, Kirk Cousins isn't a great quarterback, and they're just kind of stuck in limbo. They're the new Lions, because the Lions before were always the 7-9 team that was either, are we going to rebuild or are we going to go out of playoffs? That's what their Vikings are in right now. They can go all in and make the playoffs, or they can really just stink and tank for the first overall pick. We'll see how they do. They can really rise or they can drop in this situation. Next up, the Panthers. I'm assuming Baker's going to be the week one starter. It could be Sam Darnold just for the first 2 weeks while Baker learns the playbook. But either way, they can stink. The quarterback thing just doesn't work out and it screws up their whole team. Or they can be really good. Let's say Baker Mayfield plays phenomenal and their offensive line flourishes with the addition of Ike Ekwonu. They're going to have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson at receiver and CMC healthy at running back. If that happens, their offense will be good. They got a nice young defense developing. If they develop well, then that's a good team. But we really just don't know that. The Panthers are a big if. Now, the last hit or miss team I have is the Giants. This is every year. Defense is solid. Receiving's good. Offensive line's bad. Daniel Jones. That's the narrative around the Giants once again. Is Daniel Jones the guy? It's his last chance. That was it last year. Everyone thought Daniel Jones had one more chance last year. And if he didn't do good that season, they're going to cut him or trade him. He's still the quarterback this year. Granted, they have Tyrod Taylor behind him. So we'll see how that goes. Tyrod's going to end up being the guy by the end of the season. But like, let's say Daniel Jones actually does something and Saquon Barkley stays healthy, they can be a good team because they have Kenny Galladay, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, all, like, you know, on receiving core. You know, if Evan Neal develops, they can have a solid enough offensive line to protect Daniel Jones. Their defense plays good enough. Like, that's a team that can make the playoffs. But there's a lot of ifs in that scenario. So that's why I don't have a ton of confidence in that. And that's why they're this low. I have got the Bears up next. Justin Fields is really the only bright spot on that team. That's all I really need to say getting down here. Justin Fields is the only bright spot on that entire team because they're just the most average players in the league. That team is just full of average players. Like, if it was Madden, it's just the whole starting lineup's all like 75 overalls. It just feels like that. Now, next up, we got the Jets. Now, the Jets are behind them because they're a young team and they probably won't do good this season. But if the rookies play good in the rookie season, which sometimes will happen, then I could see them jumping up a bit. Zach Wilson could develop. They could have solid, you know, solid defense if they're rookie. I think they have two rookies on defense. If they play good, then they can have a solid defense. But nothing special on that team. Next up, the Falcons. They're kind of in the Jets situation. A lot of young players. Granted, their quarterbacks can be Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder. So we'll see how that goes. But I have some confidence in the Falcons getting 6 wins. I'll put it that way. Then you go to the Seahawks, who are up next. And I think they'll only get like 4 wins because Seattle isn't looking good anywhere except for DK Metcalf. Jamal Adams is solid on defense. They got a couple of good players. But it's mostly overshadowed by the fact that outside of those good players like DK Metcalf, they stink. I mean, really. They outside of DK Metcalf and a couple other players, Jamal Adams, they're not good. Quarterback's going to be, what's his name? Geno Smith, I think. What? It doesn't make sense. Geno Smith at quarterback, it's not a good team. Next up, the Texans. They're just they're a rebuilding team. Don't expect much of them. Same thing with the Jags. We'll see how their young team develops. I could see them getting a little better than this position by the end of the year. And then the Lions, just another tanking team that I don't expect to get any better. But that's going to be it. I've gone over the power rankings. I've gone over everything. That was a fun episode for me to record, getting back, hopefully onto a somewhat organized schedule. We'll see how that goes. But I enjoyed recording. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. Remember to leave a voice message. Check out my other podcast, Icing. And I'll see you next week.